Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The Liberty Bell reminds Americans of their independence from Great Britain. For the people of Israel, stones by the Jordan River reminded them of God's faithfulness at key points in their history. Today, more about stones and what they mean. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're celebrating the 150th anniversary of Moody Church. Today, we turn again to the book of Joshua in our study of legacy. Here is Dr. Lutzer with more of What Do These Stones Mean?
God has protected us in ways that we don't even know about, and today we are here 150 years after Moody Church founded to celebrate the faithfulness of God. But we're also here to celebrate the people of God. Your Bibles are open, aren't they? Would you turn back to chapter 3? You'll notice it says these words in verse 7. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you." You know that I like the King James. It says, "I am going to magnify you in the presence of all Israel." We make no apology for the fact that today we honor someone whom God was pleased to magnify in the 1800s by the name of Dwight L. Moody. God raises up leaders. They become our example. They guide us. They direct us. God was with Joshua. God was with D.L. Moody. And that's why next week I'm going to preach about his life, because God magnified D.L. Moody in the presence of all of America and all of Great Britain in a way that is astounding. And so, you see, we're going to celebrate the people of God. But isn't it interesting? I read the text. It says that when it came to building the memorial, God says, "Choose a man from every one of the tribes, and each man will carry this stone on his shoulder to build the memorial." Because when it comes to building the memorial, you never build a memorial alone. A memorial is always built in community. Memorial is always built by a group. Do we know the names of the people who carried these stones? No, they're not given. But the reason that Joshua could be successful is because of the thousands of unnamed people who carried stones, and God says, "I want you to build a memorial together." When you look at the history of the Moody Church, you realize that D.L. Moody is the man that we honor oftentimes, and rightly so. But he had a lot of people carrying stones for him. Arguably, Moody Bible Institute would not exist today were it not for Emma Dreyer, because there were times when Moody was so tired of the conflict and the agony that happened when Moody Bible Institute was begun. He wanted to give up the project, but she wouldn't let him. She carried stones for D.L. Moody. The history of Moody Church is thousands of unnamed people carrying stones. I think, for example, of the different locations that Moody Church has been at, and this beautiful, beautiful sanctuary dedicated in 1925. I think of the sacrifices of unknown people who gave, who slaved. There were people who sat across the way in Lincoln Park watching the building go up and praying. You see, they are ones whose names we don't know. We know a few people, but the thousands of people who have been a part of Moody Church for 150 years, they're the ones who are carrying stones, and it is because of them that today we can have a memorial that says D.L. Moody's ministry continues today. It's because of the faithfulness. It's a community project. It's a church project that we have. And so today, Moody Church is made up of ushers and parkers and Sunday school workers and those who give generously and prayer warriors and those who take care of the nursery and 100 different volunteer projects, people carrying stones, oftentimes unrecognized, nameless so far as the world is concerned, but it is because of them that we're here today to celebrate this memorial and to give glory to God. And so what are we going to do during the next months? Well, we're going to celebrate, first of all, the faithfulness of God. Secondly, we're going to celebrate the people of God. But also, and more importantly, and what really excites me, is that we are going to celebrate the presence of God. Chapter 3, verse 7, I read it just a moment ago, where the Lord God makes this interesting statement. He says to Joshua, "As I was with Moses, I will be with you," the presence of God. Let me ask you today, what is it that binds history together? Why is it that Henry Ford was wrong when he said that history was just one blank thing after another, and he filled in the blank, and I won't? What is it that gives it the glue that makes sense of the whole, the continuity? It is the presence of God. It excites me to think that the same Holy Spirit who converted the Apostle Paul on the way to Damascus is the same Holy Spirit who converted D.L. Moody. He's the same Holy Spirit who converted me as a boy when I was growing up in Canada. He's the same Holy Spirit that has converted you. He is now converting people who are going to give leadership to this church in the future. He is the one who is going to give continuity. And when the children of Israel were there facing the city of Jericho, it wasn't enough that Moses had seen a miracle. They had to see a miracle. They had to see one for themselves in their situation. And God is not out of miracles, and God is not out of men. God continues history from one generation to another. The sign behind me says it all: Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you glad that that is the case? What is it that binds history together? What binds history together is the presence of God, but also the Word of God. The Word of God. What does the Bible say about the Word of God that binds things together? It says the grass withers, the flower of the field fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And that's why we celebrate the Word of God. That's why January is dedicated to celebrating the foundation stone, ultimately, of the Moody Church, which is the Word of God. Many things have changed since the days of D.L. Moody, but there are some things that haven't changed. I could give you a long list of some things that haven't changed since the days of D.L. Moody. One thing that hasn't changed is that people are still slaves to their sin if they don't choose Jesus as their Redeemer. One thing that hasn't changed is that Jesus is the only way to the Father. One thing that hasn't changed is the fact that Jesus Christ is going to return again and there's going to be a final judgment. And one of the things that has not changed is that we continue to send missionaries to the ends of the earth. There are many things that have not changed, and what binds them all together is the Word of God, which lives and abides forever and goes from one era to the next, from one generation to the next generation. The Word of God is not changed, has not changed. And that's why we celebrate the presence of God. As I was with Moses, God says, I am with you. As I was with D.L. Moody, so I am with you. Let's think about this a little bit more. What are the implications for us today, standing here at this very pivotal time of history, looking back but also looking forward? The fact is that history is not simply a tombstone. History is actually a stepping stone. It is a tombstone, but it's also a stepping stone. You know, oftentimes we as students thought that history was boring. How I remember as a school boy in perhaps third or fourth grade holding up my history text and reciting the famous words, "If this world should flood and waters rise so high, I'd stand upon this book because it is so dry. Why did we as students think that? It's because history wasn't taught very well. It was taught as this tombstone. So-and-so lived, they did this, they died. So-and-so lived, they did this, they died. It wasn't taught with all of its lessons and all of its implications. Can we look again at those two memorials that were set up? First of all, Joshua, he sets up that memorial in the middle of the Jordan River. What is it a symbol of? It's a symbol of death. It's a symbol of the fact that the history is past. Can't go back to the time of Moses. If they had wanted to go back to the time of the wilderness, why then indeed those stones would have cried against them. The Jordan is flowing. You can't step in the same river twice. You can't go back. But the memorial at Gilgal pointed toward the land that they were to inherit. It pointed toward the future, that monument did. What was in their future? What was in the land that they had inherited? Well, first of all, Bethlehem was there in the land. And there, centuries later, a Redeemer would be born. There was Jerusalem just across the way, somewhat ahead of them. There was Jerusalem where the Redeemer would be crucified. Let me ask you a question. Did Joshua know that? Of course he didn't. It would be centuries, at least if you do the math, 6 or 7 centuries later, that the prophet Micah would write that out of Bethlehem the Redeemer was to come. They had no clue that that was going to happen. They didn't know that Jesus was going to be crucified outside of a city that would be captured by David and called Jerusalem. No idea. In the very same way, you and I never know how much God has planned for us, nor do we see the connectedness of events so far as our future is concerned. We don't see what God is up to in the big picture. We see only the challenges of today. We see our Jerichos, and we see our AIs, where the people lost men because of disobedience. That's what we see. But God has a much larger picture in mind that he never reveals to us.
My dear friend, I hope that that is encouraging to you. The fact that God does have a bigger picture, and your obedience today has repercussions that you and I know nothing about. Our obedience has long-term results. We're celebrating our 150th anniversary here at the Moody Church, and I can't help but think that when it was begun in 1864, and of course, it was a Sunday school that became a church. I hope that you know that history. I can't help but think that D.L. Moody and no one else knew that 150 years later, the same gospel would still be preached. You can participate with us in our history. We have a pictorial history of the Moody Church that has been produced. We'd like you to have a copy because it is a monument, really, to the faithfulness of God for 150 years. God bless you.
That was Erwin Lutzer with more of What Do These Stones Mean? The first of two messages celebrating the 150th anniversary of Moody Church. A commemorative book is available detailing a century and a half of celebrating the joy of changed lives. Packed with history and seldom seen images, this book brings to life the history of Moody Church. For information on how you can have this special book, call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.